If you're rocking to get up and it's not a rocking chair, it's time for the Joint Relief Institute. Fast relief, covered by Medicare. 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
Saturday, what a day. Grooving all week with you. These days are hot. Shelling degree. These days are hot.
All right, it's Dave Player back with you on 720 WGN. So TV legend Gary Marshall, who created some of the 70s most iconic sitcoms, including Happy Days, The Odd Couple, Laverne and Shirley, Mork and Mindy, went on to direct hit movies including Pretty Woman, The Princess Bride, died this past Tuesday in Burbank, California, of complications from pneumonia following a stroke. He was 81. You know, I just saw him interviewed a couple months ago, Roger, and he was ready to, like, bring some shows back to television. He was going to do some more directing. He was a pretty young guy still.
Oh, yeah, he still had tons of energy. Yeah.
He was a writer for shows like The Tonight Show with Jack Parr, Dick Van Dyke Show, Lucy Show. But really, you know, this was a generational thing. The 70s, you know, there was either two types of shows. One was the All in the Families and the MASH is a little more serious. Mm-hmm. And then you got the lighter, fun, you know, Happy Days.
Right.
Shirley, that he discovered Robin Williams. Pretty cool stuff. He penned the pilot for Happy Days in 71, which was recycled in a Love American Style episode. Did you know that? It never sold.
Right.
It never sold. So what they
used
to do. And
that came off of course, the movie.
American Graffiti. Well, right. No. Here's the thing. It did not come off the movie. It was.
Well, that's what my understanding always was.
It was a pilot first called Love in the Happy Days, mm-hmm. and it didn't get sold, so they burned it off as an episode of Love American Style. But when George Lucas asked to view the pilot before deciding to cast Ron Howard in American Graffiti, that's how it started. Then he watched the episode first, and that's how Ron got the role in American Graffiti.
I see. So the Love American Style episode aired first.
Yes.
Then the movie.
Yeah.
Then the series.
Yeah. And so they said, hey, wait a second. Don't you have a show from after American Graffiti was such a huge hit? Mm-hmm. Grease was actually touring on Broadway. They said, didn't you have a show? Didn't you do something with Ron Howard and a TV show about this? Let's bring mm-hmm. that back up again. And they literally showed that pilot 3 years later and then put it back on the air. So that's kind of how that happened. So sharing some of the memories of Gary Marshall are some of the stars of Happy Days: Henry Winkler, Anson Williams, Marion Ross, and Cindy Williams from Laverne and Shirley. First, let's listen to Anson Williams.
Well, first of all of us on our own went out and promoted.
You did.
Enough.
On the road. Yeah.
Just to keep it on the air, just to get a chance for third season. Fred Silverman happened to have taken over entertainment at ABC. And Jerry Paris and Gary Marshall thought, if we change the show into three camera, because, you know, Jerry directed Dick Van Dyke. Mm-hmm. Gary was doing The Odd Couple. I mean, there were three camera, you know, geniuses.
Yeah.
They said they think they could work the show into a hit by going live audience. And Fred Silverman agreed, but he said it's very important to put Fonzie forward, move him up to the front. And Ron Howard had a yes or no decision on that. And Ron Howard said, absolutely, better for the show. I'll take a back seat. That's going to make the show. And there we are, 48th place, you know, live audience, first show. People are on their feet, crazy, yelling, screaming. Yeah. That year, we went up to the highest rated show in the history of television.
Yeah.
Became the number one show in the world. And we became the phenomenon.
It was cool to see that episode because, I mean, it was using some of the original set pieces. I think didn't they have to move the set to another stage so that
you could
actually film all of that?
Well, we had the I Love Lucy stage.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, the second Lucy series, same crew, same cameras.
Wow.
You know, there's even
legendary.
There's even a story about that stage in the book.
And then, you know, then it took off from there, and the rest is history, really.
Yeah, and it's one of those rare moments in time. Here we are 40 years later talking about it. But Gary Marshall was such a teacher. He made sure we wore many hats so we'd have lots of tools for our lives, for our careers in show business. And that's why I think everyone's still involved in the entertainment business, because we used it, you know, in a very meaningful way. We took it seriously. We were in it. We weren't of it. And we were able to learn directing, writing, and be able to continue our lives in the entertainment business.
So we just talked a little bit about how Happy Days got off the ground. And I have to tell you, what a legendary cast that you worked with, and great people. I've had a chance to to talk to Henry Winkler. I actually taught a class with him up at Marquette University on the history of television. And I've interviewed Marion Ross. I mean, such great people to work with.
Oh, it was just one of those rare combinations of people. And, you know, and the real, maybe the major reason for the evergreen part of Happy Days is because of the people. There's something about our personalities and our chemistry that is bigger than the page. You know, it's an it factor that you can't write. And it just happens rarely. But when it does, it's magic. Happy Days crossed over every culture.
Yeah, it does.
They knew nothing about the 50s.
Yeah.
But they related to the characters. There was something that connected with the human race.
Yeah, and it's pretty timeless as well. You wrote in the book, too, about Gary talking to you about baseball in the beginning of the show to see if you were a player. And obviously he had in mind, from a leadership perspective, how to keep people grounded and how to get people to work as a team, maybe kind of outside of their normal element. I thought that was awesome.
Well, Gary is a sports nut.
Yeah.
And honestly, he wanted a softball team so he could play all the major stadiums in pre-game charity games.
That's brilliant.
And when we're auditioning, he wants to know, do you play ball?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Do you play ball? Oh, yeah, I was pretty good. I was in Little League All-Star game. He goes, what position? I go, first. He goes, I'm first. I play first. I said, but I'll show you. He goes, how are you an outfield? Whatever you want, Gary.
Yeah, right.
So he put together a softball team.
Yeah.
And our greatest memories are those games, are those experiences. We played in Germany. We played in Japan.
I was here when you played at Wrigley.
We played at Wrigley.
79.
We played every major stadium. Yeah. I mean, and it really did make us closer.
Henry didn't play.
Henry did play.
But he didn't at first.
At first, no.
You guys taught him how to play.
Yes, yes, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Well, Don could have been a professional. Don Mos. Ron was great.
Right?
Yeah. I was pretty good. And we had a great, some of the crew were amazing.
All right, that was Anson Williams. And Gary Marshall was credited for developing, obviously, some of the biggest hits on television. Henry Winkler always talks about he had no career without Gary Marshall. Let's take a listen.
1975, Gary Marshall made a deal with ABC and said, you know what, we're going to shoot it in front of a live audience. I have great success with that, with The Odd Couple. Let's try it like that. And it took off and like a rocket, and it became number one.
I think I remember the episode, actually, because I remember it seemed like out of norm of what we were watching those first couple seasons. It was when you were getting married to a stripper. I think it's what it was.
You know what? I did not remember that.
Yeah, it was getting married to the stripper, because I remember the way the... They changed the set to do it for a live audience, but in the first couple seasons, the Cunningham House looked a little different, Arnold's looked a little different, and I remember that being the live episode and how crazy people got. I mean, just when you or Ron or somebody walked out on the stage, the screaming that would happen, so different from what we were watching with the laugh track and so forth the first couple of seasons, it was incredible.
It was pretty amazing. It was amazing for us. Here's the thing. Ron Howard had not really done anything in front of a live audience before. And I'm telling you, he is so powerful as a human being. It was like he took it to a duck to water.
Is that right? That's
it
great.
It was seamless. You know, I was amazed because, you have to wait for the laugh. You know, at the crest of the laugh is when you start the next line. If you do it too early, you cut the laugh off. The audience gets confused and frustrated. You know, it's very particular, very detailed to work in front of a live audience. He was amazing.
And the rest is really history, because at that point, the show absolutely took off. I think Happy Days, the theme changed, like everything, Rock Around the Clock
got
dumped.
The theme changed because of money. You know, Rock Around the Clock was too expensive. So they wrote a theme song that they could then use forevermore.
Gotcha.
And Charlie Fox, who wrote the theme song, has my very same birthday.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. Small fact.
Small fact. And I think
know these things.
Absolutely. And I think also from a perspective of, because I know that
here's another fact.
Yeah, sure.
The food they put down in front of us in Arnold's was horrific.
Was it really?
Inedible.
So was it even from the craft table? Was it just sitting around all day? I mean,
the craft table was already a French five-star restaurant compared to what they put down in front of us.
That's lovely. I'll remember that next time I'm watching you take a bite out of something.
Yeah, notice I don't take very loud. I don't take a lot of bites.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I know the music thing too. I know. I think the next season of Happy Days is finally coming out on DVD. That has been hung up by rights issues. But didn't they use Anson a lot to sing a lot of the songs coming out of the jukebox and so forth?
Well, everybody was a singer but me. Anson sang, Donnie sang. I think they both made an album. Scott Baio sang, he made an album.
Right.
They wanted me to make an album, and I said, gentlemen, I cannot sing, and I will not make an album if I can't sing. They said, it's okay. We'll record one note at a time. And I thought to myself, nah, I don't think so.
And then try to put it together, try to edit it all together.
And they would then edit the notes together. And I thought, this is a bad thing. This is bad.
Yeah.
You know, because if there's such a thing as reincarnation, man, I'm coming back as Bruce Springsteen.
I would hope so.
Oh, yes.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
I would hope so. You know, there was something else also I remember in the beginning of the series. The Fonz character did not wear a leather jacket. He wore a windbreaker. What was the windbreaker all about?
They were convinced that I would be associated with crime if I wore leather. So I could do everything but wear leather until Gary Marshall made a deal with ABC and said he will only wear leather when we put Fonzie's bike in the scene. And the ABC said, okay. And on his way back to the studio, that was at ABC, which is in Century City, which is a small enclave in L.A. on the way to the beach.
Okay.
That's where ABC was housed at that time. And on his way back to Paramount Lot, he called the writer's room and said, never write another scene without the bike.
And the rest is history there.
And the rest is history. And now it's in the Smithsonian.
Isn't that something? I've seen that. I've seen that at the Smithsonian. That's pretty cool. I mean, you're there with Archie Bunker's chair and Kermit the Frog and all kinds of other great iconic items.
It is amazing. Yeah. Tell you the truth.
Yeah. Well, your character and the show became such a cultural phenomenon at that time. And, I mean, you went quickly from a supporting player to one of the stars of the show. And I got to assume that the success and visibility came very quickly. Was it overwhelming?
Very quickly.
Was it overwhelming at the time?
You know, it was overwhelming just because more people talked to me than I knew in my life.
Sure.
You know, and they stopped me everywhere I went, and I couldn't get over that. I went to Little Rock, Arkansas, to make a personal appearance, and 3,000 people were at the airport at 11:30 at night. And I thought, oh my goodness,
I'm here.
If I walk through this, I'm spoiling somebody's party. And somebody said, the party is for you.
Wow,
that was amazing.
Absolutely was.
Yeah.
Absolutely was.
Yeah.
Now, I know Gary Marshall kept everybody's head on straight during all the success by having you guys play softball, which I think is brilliant because it creates such a team effort. And you played all over the world, but you also played softball right here at Wrigley Field.
We sure did.
Yeah.
And, you know, we got jackets from the team, bats. My father got lost in that baseball stadium. We were supposed to go to the hotel afterwards and spent 2 hours looking for my father, who was walking around chatting with people in the stands.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that.
It's true.
But you weren't a big player, sports player at the time. I mean, you really did. Who did you learn from? Like, who taught you how to play and so forth? And you were a pitcher.
Well,
I believe, right?
The team.
Okay.
Ron Howard bought me my first glove, and Anson bought me a bat for my birthday. I don't have good eye hand coordination. You know, because I am so learning challenged. I never have played ball before, and I learned to pitch. And they were then Walter Von Huene, who was the script consultant. He would help us memorize our lines. In between takes, in between scenes, he would teach me to pitch.
Oh, that's cool.
And I then traveled all over the world with the team, and I played for the first time, and I felt wonderful that I was playing a sport.
But isn't that so true even from any business perspective, to create kind of that team effort and that team environment really helps bond people together?
Oh, without a doubt. We were truly a family. Yeah. We would play charades on Saturday night at the director's house, rest in his soul, Jerry Paris, who unfortunately passed away. Yeah. But we, the cast, would have killed for him.
No, I bet. I bet. He started off, I believe, Jerry was from the Dick Van Dyke Show originally. And then he
was the dentist. He was the next-door neighbor.
Jerry Helper.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that was Henry Winkler. Marion Ross, who was Mrs. C on Happy Days, remembers the team building Gary Marshall had done with the cast to keep their feet on the ground.
It was it's really, really magic when everybody clicks so well. And I really attribute Gary and Ron for that, because they set such a high tone of cooperation that you wouldn't dream of being anything but that. And you know, we had a softball team.
Yeah, that was a
great... We played in Wrigley Field.
You did.
In Chicago.
Yeah, you did. That was a great team-building effort. So, I mean, if you didn't know how to play ball, you really couldn't be on the show, according
to... That's exactly right. You were a writer. You couldn't... No, I'm sorry, you can't. But can you hit? Yes, all right, then you're fine. I played Rover, you know.
Okay.
They would say, get over, Marion. Over, get over, get over, over there. Over, get over. But I could hit, but I couldn't go from hitting to running. You know, it's like you'd fall on your nose.
Sure.
So I would run with my arms, both my arms straight up in the air, and they wouldn't want to hit that fine old lady. So they would overthrow first base and I'd get on.
That's great. And Cindy Williams, Shirley and Laverne and Shirley, talks about Gary in the beginnings of her 70s hit sitcom. Tuesday night, November 11th, 1975, you debuted as Shirley on this episode of Happy Days. How did that all come along? Was it Gary that engaged Penny, or how did that all go?
Well, that's while we were riding. We got a phone call, and it was Gary, and he asked Penny, he said, I got these two parts on Happy Days, these two girls who date the fleet.
I love your Gary impersonation.
I thought maybe you and Cindy could come over, take a week off, come over, play the parts. And Penny said, yeah, here's Cindy. And she put me on the phone, and he said, you know, that to me. And I said, yeah, sounds like fun if Carl will let us go. And Carl let us go. And we went over and played these two girls. Oh, my goodness. We had no idea. Neither one of us had ever seen Happy Days. She hadn't seen it. And I didn't have a TV at the time. And so we just played these girls coming on. We were smoking real cigarettes when we came on.
Is
in
that
rehearsal.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Fixing each other's lingerie, pulling up each other's bra straps and doing all this stuff. And the director...
I just remember it was pretty damn Jerry sexy Perry. For that show to have
well,
I mean, you played a pretty
well,
cool
we
role.
We had no idea. We were on like a family. We didn't even know what a family show meant. And we flicked our cigarettes across the stage and came on. And then Jerry Paris, who was directing, said, stop. And he said, you can't smoke. This is family hour. You can't smoke. Go off stage and begin again. And we had no idea what the heck he was talking about.
Just 35
you know, family
million.
Family hour? What's he talking about?
Family hour and 35 million people. And that is Cindy Williams. Here's a little bit of Gary Marshall. It was an interview done for the Archive of American Television, talking a little bit about some of his favorite episodes. This is the late Gary Marshall.
Something in it. I guess the early ones I liked because they were so pretty, the one camera. The one where they bought the car was kind of the Lemon, I think it was called. And because it was all about cars, then we couldn't do that anymore because we were three camera. I think Fonzie, I did a lot of episodes because I was really groping now because I had done a lot of TV. You know, I'd done, certainly come up with over 1,000 stories for sitcoms, so I was running out. So then I was literally doing my life as it happened instead of remembering it. I was doing, and I got hurt playing basketball and ripped my knee open, all in the inside, the ligaments, everything. So I had to have this operation. And so while I was in the hospital, I called and said, Fonzie rips his knee open. Let's do that episode. And it became a two-parter where he, or his knee, and then he... doing the big motorcycle jump over the garbage cans. I mean, that was a big episode for us. It was all about because I hurt my knee. So, because once your knee operation is over, you can't get up. So you got to get up. And it became a strong friendship show. Pinky Tuscadero, that Fonzie finally got a girl that was his equal, was a big episode that was a favorite of mine. That culminating with the best one, which was, I guess, our most emotional show. There was a group in Massachusetts, I guess, who had children, abused children, who were special cases. They didn't know what to do with them. They were just totally catatonic after time and this and that, and they would never show any emotion whatsoever. So the doctors came to tell us that they found one common denominator with these kids, there must have been 50 of them, was that they all like Fonzie. And they said the reason that they liked him was because he never cried. And they had spent most of their life crying. Somebody smacked them is why they were crying. And so they said if it would be great if he could cry. And we did an episode special for that. And it was when Richie had an accident.
That's the legendary producer, Gary Marshall, who passed away this week at the age of 81.